You've heard the headlines. Get some perspective now with Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Well, we are a couple days removed from the shooting Friday in Texas. Why does this one feel different?
The Lead. Brought to you by Burge Ford, off the US 60 and Mesa Drive.
I think it feels a little different, Bruce, because this school did a lot of things that we are told have to be done, and yet still, 10 people died. Yes, the shooting in Texas that killed 10 people thrust a small conservative city into the center of the nation's high-pitched battle over firearms. One mother has been inspired by the survivors of the mass shooting in Parkland, Florida, to participate in the March for Our Lives. Then last week, the very short, extreme gun violence she was marching against arrived in her town. She worries the real change will be lost in the nation's caustic us versus them political climate.
Yeah, you know, coincidentally, on Friday, we talked to conservative podcast podcaster author Ben Shapiro, and I thought he made a solid point, and a point that almost every debate needs to start with, which is you can agree and or disagree on measures that need to be taken, things that should or shouldn't be done. That doesn't mean that the people who disagree with you want dead children. Can we start with an acknowledgement?
I don't think anybody wants
that. But that's
children.
My point. Can we? Well, you say that. I hear plenty of people that if you disagree with their solution for school shootings means you want blood in the hallways. We have to acknowledge off the bat that nobody wants dead children. We disagree on how to get to that point.
Yeah, but the solutions aren't this huge, big mystery either. I mean, okay, so Bruce, every time we have one of these, and frankly, I'm tired of talking about them, but we have to. Okay, so let's run through it. Every time we have a mass shooting, a school shooting, let's focus on the school shootings right now.
The school shooting.
What are some of the things that are blamed? One, what's one? Mental health.
Mental health issues. The way you raise children. Video games.
Okay.
I hear that a lot. Violence in movies and music.
Not every school shooter plays video games.
No.
Okay.
No.
Not every school shooter has some sort of mental illness.
Mm.
Okay. Not every school shooter has an obsession with violence in, you know, movies and in Hollywood, right? Right?
No.
Not every school shooter has a breakdown in the family.
Broken,
you know,
home.
Or, yeah, okay.
Abused.
Do you know what every school shooter has?
What?
A gun.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a constant in this. Guns are the constant.
So guess what? It's not a big mystery.
Okay.
Yeah, so mental health can be an issue, but it's also important to point out that somebody who suffers from mental illness is actually more likely to be a victim of gun violence than they are to perpetrate it.
We also know that they're a bigger danger to harm themselves than they are to harm others.
Correct. All right.
But what's different about what happened on Friday? I felt like after the Parkland, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting, that was Valentine's Day. It's the only way I remember it, right? It was February 14th.
Yeah, sure
so
was.
It was a few months ago. There were marches. There were protests in Phoenix, some of this.
What's different?
I don't get a sense that there's some groundswell. Are we becoming numb/normalized to it?
I think what made Parkland different was immediately you had well-spoken, eloquent young people who were impacted by the gun
the
violence.
The actual victims.
Talking about it.
Yeah.
Talking about it in ways that, you know, we hadn't heard before. You weren't going to get that out of Sandy Hook. Those poor children were way too young.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it. I have not seen it in the wake of the Santa Fe High School shooting. I haven't seen students,
spokespeople,
come out
up, leaders.
And talk about it in that capacity. I think that that's what made Parkland different. And I felt Parkland was different. I feel different about this shooting than I did the Parkland shooting. And I've really kind of wrestled with that. Why?
Okay.
Because if you've listened to the program for any period of time, you know that the thing that I like to talk about least is school shootings, mass shootings, just in general. They fire me up for a variety of different reasons. And I got to admit to folks that after the Vegas shooting.
Oh, the concert one, Vegas. Yeah.
I was in a funk. That one impacted me. And then soon thereafter, we had the Texas church shooting. Boy, oh, that
one just kind of went under the radar.
That
didn't it?
For me. Like that one really bothered me. And then it wasn't long thereafter, we had about a 2-month gap, a breather, if you will, before we had the Parkland shooting.
Okay.
And that really, really bothered me. What does it say about me that this one hasn't bothered me as much?
Are you?
Am I becoming desensitized?
Did you get to the point? Was there a tipping point?
And believe, I don't want to be bothered as much as I have been by these, you know, because I'm human, and I think that we should never get to a point where we get used to this. Am I getting used to it? I don't know. It scares the hell out of me if I am, but I can admit that this one. You know,
is it strictly a body count? God,
I don't think
is
so.
Is it because there were only 10 victims and not 30? Is there a number that gets people? Because I would acknowledge that every single, you know, if and when the next one happens and there's one student killed, it's a tragedy and it is unspeakable for that family and that community.
I don't know what it is. You know what? If you've got a take on this, chime in for us. I mean, I don't want to get to a point where this is the new normal, I'm going to fight against that for myself, because I think that once you kind of throw your hands up and go, just the way it is, well, then you lose the fight to make changes. And those changes are what are needed to protect our children. We had the audio last week of the young lady at the Santa Fe High School who, when the reporter asked her, you know, were you surprised?
This was the big thing came out of this
one. Yeah, were you surprised that this happened at your school? She said, no. No, I'm afraid.
Right. Well,
I'm scared.
And the reporter did the thing that reporters do, which was ask the question thinking she knew the answer. Because the answer was going to be this, I'm going to make everybody feel better, and I can never imagine it would happen here, and, you know, we're just like everywhere else. And I don't think anybody was ready for a sophomore in high school to go, oh, yeah, absolutely, I thought it was going to happen here. I'm not surprised in the slightest. I was just scared when it started.
Now, I asked for your thoughts, and I didn't give you the phone number to give us a call and chime in. 602-200-2733. It's our open mic line. It's open 24 seconds, and we give you 24 seconds to sound off. 602-200-2733. Does this one feel different for you? And I don't mean different in a good way. I think that the different that I felt after Stoneman Douglas was good. I felt like this could actually change something.
You felt momentum.
I felt momentum. And granted, here we are like 3 days post. But I want to say Stoneman Douglas happened on a Wednesday. Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
And I left. I went to Telluride to go snowboarding. There was no other place I wanted to be because I needed a break from it all. And I was shocked when I came back the following Monday and there was this momentum. There was this force, this groundswell that was happening. I'm not getting that same sense.
No.
Are you, and why do you think it is? 602-200-2733. Our open mic line brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley.
Yeah, I think there is... I can acknowledge it. There is something different. And I worry like you that it is. But I said this on Friday. In the wake of what happened in Sandy Hook, and wrap your mind again around that truly unspeakable, horrific act of evil. If nothing changed after
that,
someone slaughtered a school, an entire classroom full of kindergartners, what would change now? If that wasn't going to be the thing, like then there is no thing. Do you see what I'm saying?
If that didn't push people over the edge,
what I don't like, there is no edge.
What I don't like about that, though,
there's no edge.
Is for the young people that are listening that have to get up every single morning and go to a high school that they may not feel safe. By taking that stance right there, Bruce, you're telling that generation there is no hope. There is no hope. And I don't live in that world, and I will never live in that world. So I'm disappointed in myself. You don't have to say it for me, folks, that this one feels different for me, that like for some reason, I'm just kind of like another school shooting. Not proud of it. Yeah. I don't know why. I got to do a little bit more soul searching on that one. But I don't want to be desensitized to this.
I hear you.
Because that is then when we just throw our hands up, walk away saying, nothing is ever going to change. Then nothing ever will change.
Again, you can chime in. 602-200-2733. What is different? Does this one make you feel different? 602-200-2733. Brought to you by Carol Royce and Lead. Brought to you by Burge Ford off the US 60 in Mesa Drive. Online at burgeford.com. So Diane Douglas, friend of the show, I think it's fair to say. She is always willing to come in and talk to us. We don't have her in today, but we do have some audio from her, some audio of something she's trying to do in classrooms. I hope you're sitting down for it.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You would be excused if you were not aware of the school science standards for all Arizona school children and how they are put together, written. But we're making you aware of it because State School Superintendent Diane Douglas is behind a movement to rewrite the science standards for Arizona schools.
And in it, she wants to include something called intelligent design. Intelligent design. What is intelligent design?
The so-called theory of intelligent design is a rebranding of creationism, the religious belief in the existence of a creator.
That's our buddy Bram Resnick over at Channel 12. He's been diving into this story.
Teachers say they were shocked when the words evolution and evolve were crossed out of their draft. The deletions apparently the work of Republican school superintendent Diane Douglas.
So we are going to remove the teaching of science from science class. That's what I take this as. Science, you know, it's to quote the great Neil deGrasse Tyson, it's true whether or not you believe in it. That's the awesome thing about science. It is provable. It is evidence-based. It is fact-based. And the idea that with all of the struggles, with all of the things that we've been debating in Arizona education, that on top of lack of funding in schools, teacher pay, antiquated textbooks, technology that doesn't work, school bus tires that aren't good, we're going to also remove science from science class. This is asinine.
Yeah, and I also think it's illegal.
Really?
Well, the First Amendment, you know, forbids the government from establishing a religion. And creationism, intelligent design,
is a religious theory.
It's a religious theory that is mostly mainstream with Christians, Jews, Muslims. You've got Hindus, Buddhists also that believe in some sort of doctrine of this. But you do not have the government is not allowed to establish a religion. So it means that public schools cannot give special privileges to any religion. Since creationism is part of a religious view, it cannot be given preferential treatment by a government body such as public schools.
So there is, do we have to get to the point where, stop me if you've heard this before, we have an elected official in the state of Arizona who basically, by a stroke of a pen, writes something in and it's going to require a court fight to go back in and take it off the pages?
Well, it may not require a court fight.
Superintendent Douglas believes a version of creationism should be taught in tandem with evolution. New science standards for schools could leave it up to teachers to decide.
So it could be up to the teachers. Now, Amy Struthers is a science teacher at Jones Gordon School in Paradise Valley. She compares the rollback of evolution in the classroom not teaching students about gravity.
I would argue the same, yes. Gravity's merely a theory. It's just a theory. You know? The Earth is round. But, you know, it's just science and theory. Why should we teach that? When you start going in and ignoring science, where do you stop with which scientific theory, which proven fact-based scientific theory do you choose to ignore because it doesn't fit your beliefs?
See, this is what I know a lot of like people are concerned about, like activist judges. You know what I mean? You get like an activist judge on the court, and
ignores
instead of following
the law,
they instill their own belief system.
You hear about that.
You could make the same argument here.
Heck yeah.
With Diane Douglas and this move that she's looking to take. Now, we want to get your thoughts on this.
Ooh.
The idea that Arizona could roll back teaching of evolution in the classroom and insert intelligent design per Diane Douglas, or creationism was what everybody else calls it. Get your thoughts on that. 602-200-2733. It's our open mic line. 602-200-2733. We give you 20 seconds to sound off. It's open 24/7, and it's brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley.
Yeah, I think, again, you just have to get into a basic understanding of, is science class about science? And if science class is about science, you stop at scientific, provable science, and you don't get into anything else. Even if that goes against your personal belief, you can believe whatever you choose to believe. Science class should teach science. You want to have religious class and teach religious theory? That's a separate class.
Yeah, this isn't a... Yeah. Intelligent design is not a scientific theory.
No, it's not based in any science, as a matter of fact.
Right. In fact, there was
a
federal judge back in Pennsylvania blocked a school district from teaching intelligent design, declaring it unconstitutional, that it was an advancement of a religious viewpoint in public schools. Hence, going back to, it could be illegal.
Of all the things, and we just get into this, and it's so frustrating. After what we just went through, Red for Ed, all the stuff, even acknowledging there are different sides of that debate. Really? This is what we think we need to be dealing with in the state of Arizona when it comes to education? This is the fight you want to have in public schools? Give me a break.
You want to do something about it? Well, the Arizona Board of Education will be looking to approve the standards in June. You have until, let me get the date here, May 28th.
Get on it.
To comment publicly, and we're going to have our super producer, Stevie Z, tweet out the link to allow you to provide that feedback. So that'll be up at Bruce and Pamela. Give us a few moments.
Bill O'Reilly, Matt Lauer, throw even Chef Mario Batali in there. All men who got swept up in the hashtag MeToo movement, right? Men who were accused, settled, proven to have acted inappropriately, specifically around females they worked with. Have they had enough time on the sideline? Is it okay for them to come back? Because they're all eyeing returns. Will people accept them? They've done their penance. We'll talk about it next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Can I do a quick shout out, Pamela?
Okay. I
appreciate that. Chris works at Rehab Burger over here, 16th and Bethany Home. I went in there Saturday for lunch, and he recognized me. He wanted to say hi to you. He tried to brag to the other employees there, but Chris is 23, most like everybody else there, and he said nobody else knew who the hell we were.
Shocking.
He says he's the only one who listens to KTR. You know what made this the best thing? I was sitting there with Holmberg. Not one person recognized Holmberg. It's the best thing I saw.
Thing all day.
Entire thing. So shout out to Rehab Burger and Chris over there listening every day. Appreciate it. So there are a variety of names. If I threw some of these names out, Pamela, Charlie Rose, Louis C.K., Bill O'Reilly, Matt Lauer, Mario Batali, they all have something in common.
Yeah, they have all fallen from their high perches thanks to hashtag MeToo.
Yeah.
And we're talking about allegations, and sometimes, you know, like they've been founded, investigations have taken place, and Matt Lauer had to leave his job. Bill O'Reilly left his job. Charlie Rose is another you can throw
in
there.
Run out, quit, hiding, whatever.
Yeah. And you know what else? You can also throw them into the same category of, Bruce? A lot of them are trying to make a comeback.
Yeah, they and hardly alone. I mean, if you think about this, this is not completely unheard of. We are a country of second chances. There are plenty of people that have made horrendous mistakes in their lives and have come back from it. The question is, can you come back from the Me Too movement? Can you come back once you're branded?
Who has made a horrible mistake that we've given a second chance to in this
Bill
country?
Bill Clinton.
Okay.
I mean, it just comes to mind. Anthony Weiner was given second chance, third chances. We've had these people that have done, I would argue, some pretty bad things and have in some way, shape, or form rehabilitated their image or got work again, or they have this blemish on their permanent record, but they've come back. I'm not arguing that these guys should. I'm just saying we have done this in our nation's history.
Yeah, you know what? A lot
Charlie
of
Charlie Sheen still gets jobs.
When you have somebody that goes to jail for a crime, okay, or is convicted, and then goes through rehabilitation,
probation,
and there's retribution. Yep. I mean, you pay a price.
You make good.
Not just you make good, but you also pay a price.
Yeah.
As being a convicted you know, being a convict, sometimes it's harder to find an apartment.
Sure. Or get a job.
Get a job.
Check the box.
Own a gun.
Yeah.
Vote. I mean, there are some major obstacles and hoops to jump through having been convicted in a court of law. But when there is no court of law and it's just the court of public opinion for which you have been convicted in, that is where I think the idea becomes a little murky. Because for the guys like Matt Lauer, who is testing the waters for a comeback right now.
Yeah.
Or Mario Batali, who is seeing whether or not he can open up some restaurants.
Bill O'Reilly talking about a new online television or cable television show.
Not being able to host a TV show, not being able to run a restaurant or embark on a comedy tour for, like, you know, Louis C.K. It's not the same from being kept from even getting a minimum wage job or voting. It's different in these
guys.
You
don't have a right to a celebrity chef show.
Right. They haven't faced any criminal penalties. Shy Bill Cosby, okay? None have been truly deprived of their freedom. And some are already looking for a comeback. And it seems unlikely that, like, Matt Lauer or Charlie Rose or even, like, Harvey Weinstein would be able to make a comeback. Like, they've been convicted in the court of public opinion. Who's going to give them a chance? Mike Tyson went to jail for raping an 18-year-old.
Ray Lewis allegedly murdered two people.
Chris Brown beat up his girlfriend.
That's not even a debate, is it?
No, and he has a hit song out there where he talks about his controversial past.
Yeah. What penalty did he suffer?
Right. You've got over a dozen women who have accused Donald Trump of something, and he's now president of the United States. Now, I'm not saying that, like, every transgression deserves the same punishment, but these people haven't paid any penalty at all, either than the reputation being hurt and have lost money. So do you put those men back in a position where they have power over female subordinates?
I think that the answer, by the way, is going to be yes. I hate to break it to you. And the answer is yes because of one simple solution. Money. Money. If they still have value to somebody, they'll put up with the negative press, the negative PR in the short term. Here's another one. I think these keep popping into my head. Michael Vick. Michael Vick, remember? He was untouchable. The dog fighting and killing animals and all this. And then he becomes the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, and Eagles fans think he's awesome.
You know, when you think of it, like, as a doctor, if a doctor abuses the prescription pad, and writes a bunch of prescriptions for people to get drugs, they lose their license, right? They no longer have the privilege of doing that. Men who use their position of authority to sexually assault women shouldn't have jobs that give them power to make or break the careers of females.
But does that mean that they can't have any job? This isn't me defending them. I just know we're going to see these people again. But will it just be in a different role? Will it be in a different area? Bill O'Reilly's fans could care less how he treats women. It doesn't make a lick of difference to him. Honestly. Donald Trump could care less how he treats women. So the idea that everybody's on the same page and sees all these guys through the same lens, their audience might be smaller, their opportunity might be smaller, but there's certainly a portion of the public out there that just flat doesn't care.
And there's again, a portion I get back to the public that'll accept anything.
But that's why I get back to Michael Vick, and I think maybe Michael Vick is the best one. This is a guy who abused animals, went to prison for it, was vilified in the NFL, except by the team's fans he was playing for. Those fans didn't
Some
of them didn't like him.
Don't make a generalization.
He got a job. He was paid millions of dollars and was a starting quarterback in the NFL again after getting out of prison. Yeah, you could come back.
Yeah, well, you know what? And also, okay, so you talk about the guys coming back, making a comeback. I also think that that's too easy. It's too easy for the companies that would explore the option of bringing one of these guys back. Because
what do you mean it's too easy?
I think it's too easy because have they taken the steps to ensure that it won't happen again? I mean, there has been systematic factors that have allowed this kind of abuse of power to take place at a variety of different companies.
Sure.
Instead of, you know, you got to ask the hard questions. Yeah, there's a lot of companies out there requiring everybody to take that training.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, don't say this to one another.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the easy
the
stuff.
Webinar.
Are you really doing the hard work that it's going to take to change the system? You got to start there before you even consider bringing any one of these guys back.
How many of these men accused of behaving badly think they did something that wrong?
Don't even get me started.
Okay, sorry.
Don't even get me started.
Like, didn't mean to get you worked up. Starbucks and their bathroom policy. Anybody, anytime, anywhere. Why does this make me not want to use the bathroom at Starbucks? We're going to talk about it. It's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
Michael Jackson. Another comeback person. See? They keep coming into my head as you think about this. So Starbucks has been in the news for about darn near everything except coffee recently. Is that a fair way to put it?
That is fair.
About everything but a half-calf decaf with a twist leave room.
Christmas cups, yeah.
And lately it's been about the usage of Starbucks, Starbucks bathrooms, etc. And Starbucks has come out with a, call it a new policy.
Business partners Dante Robinson and Rashawn Nelson, both 23, were arrested on April 12th as they sat in a Philadelphia Starbucks after not buying anything and asking to use the restroom.
Well, what did they do? What did they do?
It was an embarrassing moment for the coffee chain. Video of their arrest sparked outrage on social media and accusations of racial bias. So Executive Chairman Howard Schultz said that Starbucks bathrooms will now be open to everyone, whether they're paying customers or not, saying, quote, "We were absolutely wrong in every way." More than 8,000 U.S. locations will close on the afternoon of May 29th for racial bias training.
Yeah, you also no longer need to purchase something in order to sit inside. And this makes sense to me because soon after that whole Philadelphia debacle that transpired at the Starbucks there, I tried to put myself in the shoes of the manager. And what were the rules or what was the policy that I was being tasked with enforcing? And you can't pick and choose how you enforce that policy. So for me, as a manager, in order not to end up on the nightly news and going viral, I wanted a all or nothing situation. Either everybody can sit in there without purchasing it or nobody can.
But
either everybody can
far.
Use the bathroom or nobody can.
Yeah, and I think they've swung too far because I think the concern for a lot of folks is, will Starbucks locations, and it varies from location to location, become a place where people go to loiter? People go to sit inside, to not order anything, to burn tables and to use the bathrooms. And actual customers who want to go in and do this will be turned off or run away by it. I saw this on the Twitter machine. Sunday, Starbucks in Manhattan, 10 people in line to use the bathroom. None of them appeared to be customers. None of them had coffee.
It's Manhattan. I expect that at not only the Starbucks, but at the McDonald's, at the Burger King, and at the gas station
nearby. But those other companies don't have that policy. Those other companies do require you to be a customer to use the facilities.
I use the McDonald's bathroom all the time without having to go purchase something.
This
it
is
happened.
Not a NIMBY
when I worked
thing
at McDonald's, it happened all the time. This is nothing new.
I can understand it. I think Starbucks, the manager behaved inappropriately in Philadelphia. But, I mean, where do you draw the line?
Where do all the other establishments draw the line? Is this just
as long as you're not in the news, you're fine.
But Bruce, is this because it's Starbucks? Is it because you put Starbucks on a bit of a pedestal? Because all these other fast food restaurants allow this to happen. So why wouldn't
you say they do?
Yes.
No, I'm not aware of that. I know there's plenty of them that say if you don't use, if you don't buy something, you don't use the bathroom. Plenty of them.
Yeah, I haven't ran into one in a hot minute.
I run into them all the time.
I worked at a McDonald's for years, and it never happened. I worked at an Olive Garden for years, never happened.
So
I worked at the Chili's on Millen University.
So is Starbucks business to sell coffee or a business
to
have bathrooms?
My point is, I worked at the Chili's on Millen University, which is a very hot, busy corner when it was still there. People would come in all the time, and they were allowed to use the restroom. I don't know why Starbucks is any different.
I think it's because of the number of locations, I think, has something to do with
more
it.
More than
I think
McDonald's?
I think there are more Starbucks than McDonald's now, if you can imagine that.
It's,
no, we got corners here in Phoenix where there's two Starbucks on a corner.
And three McDonald's.
I don't have
a problem with this. I honestly don't. And I think that what Starbucks is doing is they're making it easier on their employees. Because, again, put yourself in their situation. You know, am I supposed to ask if they've bought something? You know, oh, but I noticed them. They're black. I didn't notice this table over here didn't buy anything, but they're white. So it's either you have somebody stand there and is like a bouncer for Starbucks, and unless you purchase something, you're not allowed to take a seat. I mean, it's a waste of time.
Starbucks has said that it will not stand for disruptive behavior, smoking, drug or alcohol use, improper use of restrooms, and or sleeping in their facilities. But you know that that's the next thing that's coming. I mean, I think the concern for Starbucks is, are you selling coffee or are you going to become a homeless shelter? Especially in areas where you can imagine Phoenix, where it gets super hot, or other places where it gets super cold. If you can't throw people out of your business for not doing commerce with you, does it become the meeting place?
What am I missing here? Why would Starbucks become a homeless shelter, but McDonald's doesn't? What am I missing, folks? 602-200-2733. It's our open mic line, and it's open 24-7. We give you 24 seconds to sound off. I have zero problem with Starbucks' open letter to employees. No purchase needed to sit inside or use the bathroom. I think it streamlines it. I think it keeps them out of the media. I think it's a good idea. What do you think? 602-200-2733.
Yeah. I already kind of avoid public bathrooms. I think the Starbucks one is completely off the list now. There's my NIMBY.
How's it different than any other public bathroom?
It is. I'm going to have to think about how it is. But
okay.
Every time I go into Starbucks, it's decidedly different than McDonald's. We'll figure that out. The Super Bowl coming back to Arizona. Oh, don't worry. You've got time to make plans. We'll tell you about that coming up next.